Coming up on today's edition of Locked On Eagles, we recap the signing of former New York Giants cornerback James Bradberry, who signed a one-year deal with the Eagles on Wednesday, really putting the cherry on top of a killer offseason. That's coming up next right here on Locked On Eagles.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
We thank you so much for making Locked On Eagles your first listen each and every day. Welcome in, Eagles fans, to a Wednesday edition of the show. It's episode 3 this week of 5. Download it into your phone wherever you get the podcast. We're also in video form as well on YouTube. And make sure you hit us up on Twitter, Talking Birds, all throughout the day at Locked On Birds, at DiBiase, L-O-E, and at GC24_football. Today, talking about the move that happened Wednesday morning. You know, I did a show on Monday, and I kind of talked about, all right, now that the NFL draft is over, the Eagles made their move up for Jordan Davis. They traded for A.J. Brown. They stole N'Kobe Dean in the third round. You had that first wave of free agency where they got Hassan Riddick. You're like, all right, it's kind of the dead zone now. I think things will quiet down. There's still some moves to be made, and we kind of went over which moves could happen. And the big one, Gino, actually happened. They signed James Bradberry this morning, the former New York Giants cornerback, to a one-year deal worth upwards of $10 million, guaranteed a little under $8 million. So the Eagles sign a much-needed piece for the 2022 season, only to a one-year deal, but this had to be done at cornerback in the defensive backfield in general after they really, again, killed the draft. But the one thing that we were all on edge about, despite this killer offseason, was, oh man, who's CB2? Who are the safeties right now? Bradberry comes in, Gino, and solidifies that at corner, and I think gives you the best trio of corners you've had in over a decade, I think easily.
Easily. I mean, I went through it today.
I mean, what's close? I mean, 2017, I guess, like Mills, Darby, and Robinson?
Oh my, don't even.
But that's what I'm saying. It's been that bad, man. They haven't had Bradberry, Slay, and Maddox.
No, they had that good duo with DRC and Asante Samuel there in 2012. You could look back to the days of 2002, 2003. That's when the defensive secondary was just unbelievable, man. I tweeted it out today. The 03 team had guys like Bobby Taylor, Troy Vincent, Quentin Michael Lewis, Brian Dawkins. I mean, you could go down that list the year before. They had Al Harris. I always forget he's an Eagle as well. But it's been quite some time since you've had two guys that could play at that position, which we were lucky enough to have last season in Avante Maddox and Darius Slay. But the big question mark was, what's at the next spot there? It wasn't Steven Nelson. Didn't think he fit the style of play. Thought that
and
was
you were crazy to think Zach McPherson or any of those guys on the roster this year were going to be that guy too.
I mean, right. You're out of your mind. More development. Yeah. And this is scenario that we talked about. I don't look at this one as a quote unquote band-aid signing, even though it is a one-year deal, right, Lou? I would think if you signed Xavier Rhodes, like, yeah, it's a little bit of a band-aid.
Yes. But Patrick Peterson. Yeah,
100%. James Bradberry has played good football the last couple of years. He's had to be the number one there in New York, which really wasn't his position at this point in his career. And 5 days after signing, or 5 years after the five, or let me say this again, Lou, I apologize. A day after the 5 year anniversary of LeGarrette Blount signing to the Philadelphia Eagles, they sign. James
this is a
Bradberry.
Classic Howie move. This is classic a classic Howie move after move. The draft. I mean, Steven Nelson last year was around the same time. I really like that you said that this doesn't have to be a band-aid move because James Bradberry is only 28 years old. This game gives me more Kazir White vibes where, you know, it's one of those or like in 2017 when you brought in Timmy Jernigan and Alshon Jeffrey and they earned that middle of the season extension. That could be Bradberry. This isn't even Steven Nelson. I mean, Gino, he's coming off a down year, but in 2019 and 2020, he allowed passer ratings of just a little bit over 50. He earned a Pro Bowl vote in 2020. I mean, listen to some of these stats from PFF. Like in late December of the 2022 season, he had the highest single coverage grade from PFF, and he had the most forced incompletions. Like this was a CB1 a couple years ago that's not going to have to cover the best receiver. And a lot of the time, he might be covering the third best receiver because of how often stars play inside. You're going to have Avante Maddox in there. I mean, this is, to me, a great situation. I think he's going to bounce back.
I believe since 2016, Darius Slay and James Bradberry have combined for 126 passes defended. That's exactly what you want.
And over 15 picks. They're the only two corners that have 15-plus interceptions and 80-plus pass breakups since 2016. So, yeah.
So, just looking at the production alone, now it allows Darius Slay to really do what he can do out on that island while not having to worry about that other side of the field, because that was the big issue. Like, are you going to have to put a safety over there a majority of the time? I do believe that they do more split safety, too high style stuff. Now with James Bradberry, who is a man cover corner, who's a very smart corner. Avante Maddox mentioned that in his press conference today. And it'll allow them to be able to keep things in front of them and play that hybrid front that they want to under Jonathan Gannon while playing quarters system in the back, where you're going to have a corner, a safety, and a linebacker on one side, and you're going to have the exact mirror of that on the other side. And you can do that with two guys that play very similarly. And you got Avante Maddox, who might be one of the best slot corners in the league.
He was last year.
Who now I only think reaps the rewards even more, because it's going to be a matched up based defense that this team is going to throw out there, right? Who are you going to be able to not lock up man to man? Like, I think all of them have that ability to play man to man, and you build your team. I always say you draft to beat your division, but you build your team to beat your division ultimately. So what do? You go out and take one of the pieces from the New York Giants who happen to strap themselves with that James Bradberry contract. You're paying him less than the dead cap of what the New York Giants have on their cap this year, while at the same time bringing in a third option at the cornerback position to shut down the names of Sadarian Lamb, Michael Gallup, Curtis Samuel, Jahan Dotson, Terry McLaurin, Sterling Shepard.
Look at all the teams you play this year. Like, look at the Cardinals and the loaded amount of weapons they have. I mean, yeah, man, the NFL right now on offense is at least three deep at receiver. You could, and again, that's why I thought it was crazy, as much as I loved how this offseason has gone. It started off really slow. Like, we both really liked the Hassan Reddick move, but we're like, damn, receivers don't seem like they want to come here. Marcus Williams chooses Baltimore. All these free agents are kind of swinging out. The Calvin Ridley trade didn't pan out. And then it just totally turned around with the draft. But you were still uneasy because you're like, damn, even though they killed the front seven on defense and they bring in A.J. Brown, you didn't get that defensive backfield right. And you're like, how can we rely on the personnel we have? This just is definitely the icing on the cake. It's the cherry on top of this offseason. It's something that you had to have. And Bradberry, again, was a legit player. I mean, again, in 2020, he was so good. Another stat that I really liked on targets, 20 plus yards down the field, Geno, zero touchdowns allowed, and he had three interceptions that year. I mean, he was a legit CB1 just a calendar year ago.
I remember there were conversations that people were having that James Bradberry had a better 2020 season than Darius Slay had. And yeah. I would absolutely agree with you. And then they flip-flop. Darius Slay has this all-pro style season. James Bradberry takes a step back. But now I believe you're going to get the best of both worlds out of these guys. And look at the type of body that James Bradberry has. He's got long arms. He's tall. He could tackle on the outside. Everything that we have been saying that Jonathan Gannon needs opposite of Darius Slay, you now have. He's not Steven Nelson, who is a primarily zone cover corner, somebody that had to keep things in front of him, keep his eyes to the quarterback. James Bradberry can do a lot of what Darius Slay does.
Yeah, he can handle his own. You can trust him if you want to play man coverage, you know, for
100%.
Sure.
100%.
This is not a limited player. Yeah.
No, you'll be able to open up your defensive playbook even more now. Like, we talked about the pieces that they've added. It was like Hassan Reddick was the first piece. Now they'll open up this outside linebacker / edge rusher type of role. Then they bring in Jordan Davis, where it's like, okay, now we have a two-gapping nose that can open up the entire defensive line. And then you bring in another piece in James Bradberry. You're talking about all the personnel issues they had last year. A lot of them, if not all of them, have kind of went away. And I forgot the Kaiser White. I forgot that.
I know, because Kaiser White kind of goes under the radar, but he's kind of like, I think he's got a better chance even than Bradberry to earn a contract extension this year. I mean, the kid's only, 25, 26 years old, and is coming off a career year as well. So, yes, I totally agree. This defense is so much more improved. And again, I was still really nervous about corner and safety. And although right now it's safety, you know, you're probably going to go in with Anthony Harris and Marcus Epps and Kevon Wallace. It's hard to really complain because everything else in front of those guys is really set up beautifully. This was the best case scenario after, again, you know, you bring in, you get Jordan Davis, and I agreed with not forcing a pick there, taking Trent McDuffie in round one when you can get Davis and AJ Brown. Those are just total game changers. And in round two, cornered, it just, there wasn't really anybody there worth taking. And then in the third round, you got to grab Nakobe Dean, who's a first round talent that fell for maybe like mystery injury reasons that aren't even true. But overall, the fact that you could have that transpire, that scenario play out, and still come away with this kind of addition at that position is by far best case scenario. But Gino, coming up next before after we hit the break, I want to get into what you just mentioned with this defense and how improved it is personnel wise. And I feel like that's the first time I felt that way about this unit in a long time. So we'll get into that coming up next right here on Locked On Eagles, getting into the move. The Eagles sign James Bradberry to a 1-year deal.
James Bradberry is a great gift to the Philadelphia Eagles. And I got home the other day from coaching and I have a great gift sitting in my mailbox, Lou. I open it up, says Built Bar on it. And I'm saying, oh baby, what are these? Birthday cake puffs.
It's a top flavor we've got in the mail so far, I think.
My favorite by far. I am a birthday cake guy through and through. It's got sprinkles on there. It's got delicious chocolate. It has the marshmallows. Instead of digging into a really gluttonous piece of birthday cake, I'm grabbing one of these each day. Lou, I wish they sent us more because I'm running through these things quick and I can't wait to get another order of them in the mail. And if you want to get an order of them, or yeah, there it is. It's beautiful, beautiful packaging,
beautiful,
beautiful taste. Can't beat these Built Bars. If you want to get in on Built Bars today, make sure you go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, which will unlock 15% off of your order. And what can you get with this? Well, you're going to get a delicious protein bar that they focus on taste before they focus on the healthiness of it. But the good thing is, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams of net carbs, up to 150 calories per bar, so much less than your favorite candy bar. And oh, did I mention 17 grams of protein? Grab it on the run, grab it before you work out, grab it before you hop on and listen to the Locked On Eagles podcast. So check it out, get any of their original flavors, any of their limited edition flavors that they have, and please check out these birthday cake ones. You are not going to regret it. Built.com. Locked 15. Make sure you get your Built Bars because we love them here at the Locked On Eagles podcast.
All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into this Wednesday edition of Locked On Eagles. And it's May 18th, and you continue to feel juiced about this football team after they continue to kill this offseason. Howie Roseman, again, he is sometimes just poisonous at dragging things down. But man, the way he can build things back up is creative and energetic and exciting. And it's so optimistic right now to think. And James Bradberry is not like this massive move, right? A franchise quarterback, an AJ Brown kind of move even. But it just continues to add on to the impressive work that's been done this offseason to turn the Eagles into what we think now is roster-wise strength of this team on paper. One of the best teams in the NFC, Gino. And I think they have, outside of, again, quarterback with Jalen Hurts, which is the massive question, I think they have the best roster in the NFC East. And you look at, like, that's always felt like the case even on offense at times on paper. I think Howie has done a really good job of rebuilding the offensive core since really 2018. I mean, when he took Goddard and then, you know, we got Jordan Mailata, brought in Miles Sanders, Devontae Smith, then Quez Watkins. Slowly but surely, they were building that thing up. Landon Dickerson, you know, the list goes on and on. Even Jack Driscoll, he was really focusing on offense. But because of that, and he was spending a lot of his high picks on that side of the football, trying to maximize Carson Wentz and, you know, of course, prioritizing the offensive line as you should. But the defense kind of suffered in a way, and they had to go in different routes to grab defensive talent. A lot of the time it was like, you know, as you've mentioned before, Band-Aid bridge signings at corner and linebacker. You try to get older players, try to maximize what they had left, like Malik Jackson a few years ago. And they just had to take different routes because they weren't spending first and second round picks at the positions and they weren't spending giant contracts. They were kind of going cheap, to be honest, outside of the defensive line. But you look at it this year and you look at what he's added difference maker wise on this side of the football. Jordan Davis, N'Kobe Dean, James Bradbury, Kazir White, Hassan Riddick. Those are five players in one offseason that could be long-term difference makers on this football team on that side of the football. When was the last time, Gino, you could say that? And it, where it actually panned out. I mean, the dream team, he did that, and that was a complete disaster. This looks awesome, and they're all in their prime. That's the difference, too. Like, these guys are all in their prime with a proven track record. The defense finally looks really exciting, and I think you can win because of them now.
Great way to say it, Lou. And the guys that you have that you can win because of will cover up the guys that maybe you might just win with, like the Marcus Epps situation, Anthony Harris. I think with what they're going to be able to do will maximize what these two gentlemen can do, because in front of them, you have a boatload of playmakers on the defensive line. You have the most athletic linebacking core that you've had in,
oh my gosh, by far,
maybe forever. Like, legitimately, like, if you think back to, like, the Jeremiah Trotter years, like, they weren't athletes, but they were big, bruising guys.
Yeah, like, not, like, walking on eggshells now. Like, if a receiver ever got in the open field the last, like, 7 years, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I don't know who's going to get this guy. I don't know who's going to make a play. I don't feel worried about that. Like, you have athletes and speed, finally, on this unit in youth.
And the way that Howie Roseman has done it has 100% gone against the grain of, like, how he tried to build after 17. Like you said, offensive focused, while at the same time, the defense got left by the wayside a little bit. Now, he understands what his coordinator wants in Jonathan Gannon. He addressed players that are, one, pure impact players, Lou. Like, all those names that you mentioned, Kaiser White, our friends over at Locked On Chargers, really said how big of an impact he had for that team, especially when Kenneth Murray went down, right? He goes out, signs to the Philadelphia Eagles for a cheap deal, potentially could sign longer. You go out there, add Hassan Riddick, who you missed on years back. You bring him into Philadelphia on a team-friendly deal. You look at the edge rushing market. It's going to be able to do a lot of things for you. Couple in drafting Jordan Davis, who's going to open up that middle of the field. N'Kobe Dean, who might be an instant day one starter that you got in the third round. And James Bradbury. All of these players fit into a hole that we didn't have a guy for last year. Like, who played the Kaiser White role? Who played the Hassan Riddick role? Who was James Brad? Like, we didn't have that guy.
Well, that's what I'm saying, Gino. Like, you can say that for, like, five of the additions. You didn't have that guy with Riddick, with White, with Dean, with Davis, with Bradbury. You didn't – I mean, you basically replaced – let's see. It's like you replaced Jannard Avery, Eric Wilson, Steven Nelson – like those three guys, and like Davian Taylor and even TJ Edwards, their snaps, you're replacing that and Hassan Ridgeway with N'Kobe Dean, Jordan Davis, James Bradbury, Kazir White. I mean, like, that is the upgrade. That's an understatement. I mean, Jonathan Gannon, I had my reservations about him last year, but the fact of the matter is that his personnel was kind of junk.
Yeah, there was actually a clip from Honest NFL, who's done a great job covering since all these.
Yeah, the guy makes my head spin, but he does great work.
Yes, he does. Like, when you read all of the information on quarters coverage and run fits and all that stuff, like, if you read between the lines and see what he's getting at, he posted a clip where Fletcher Cox was zero tech over the center, right? And then you had Hassan Riddick, and I believe it was Derek Barnett, as like your five techs who are right over the tackles. When Fletcher Cox mentioned that they were putting him in positions that he didn't play before, now all the puzzle pieces are kind of coming together where it's like, yeah, they were trying to do what they wanted Fletcher Cox to be doing in a player that Jordan Davis is. And it's now like, okay, now Fletcher Cox can go be that three-gap player that we so aspire to just have him do and get after the quarterback because you have Jordan Davis. N'Kobe Dean will allow those safeties and those corners to move back and just play more free and not have to really worry about coming underneath because you have multiple guys. I mean, starting from Hassan Riddick, who can run sideline to sideline. Kaiser White can run sideline to sideline. N'Kobe Dean. And then your fourth best linebacker could potentially be Davian Taylor, who you haven't even unlocked his ceiling yet. So it kind of drops everybody down the depth chart. Jonathan Gannon can put the guys in the positions where they're going to succeed and not put a square peg into a round hole. And I think they've just continually taken that route since the end of last season. And even looking back at the draft last year, Lou, you look at the Milton Williams move, you look at the Taron Jackson and the Patrick Johnson moves. All of those guys were made more for like this odd style front. And you started to see that come together. Can you fix the whole team in one offseason? No. Can you do it in two? Well, you could get pretty dang close. And I think they're just about there.
Yeah, and especially when you've done such a good job with Howie and, you know, I think trying a new untapped market while everybody's spending draft picks like crazy, like they did to win a Super Bowl in 2017, he's now starting to collect them and he's using that for the long term. He still has two first round picks in 2023. He still has two second round picks in 2024. He had two first round picks this year. He's doing a lot of it for the long term to rebuild this team for sustained success, but he's also been using these picks. And again, it doesn't always come around where you have to trade your franchise quarterback away, and that's what helped them kind of really ignite this thing and kind of fast forward.
Which is wild to say where we are from when that happened.
But he's maximized that opportunity that he did have to make a horrible situation into a great one. And that's what's really helped is that draft flexibility has allowed them again to maintain their future assets and still go for the now and be aggressive. Like the moves they made this offseason – the best feeling about it is it's different than the Super Bowl window because these moves aren't just going to help you short term. But as we mentioned, Gino, a lot of these guys are either just coming into the league or in their prime and their second contracts. Like they're not going away. It doesn't feel like anytime soon if they hit that ceiling.
And even the pieces that you had put together last season, right? Like extending Jordan Mailata, bringing in Landon Dickerson. You're building at all of the areas that you have kind of philosophically taken that route of saying, these are the important parts of our team. And you've done it in a manner where it's not a Michael Bennett trade, right? Where you're getting a guy who's on the wrong side of 30, trying to maximize your Super Bowl window. No, your Super Bowl window, I believe this go around should be bigger. Because not only are you building for now with guys that are under 28 years old, you tweeted it today from the Locked On Eagles account. Laugh out loud, funny that they still have two first-round picks next year, multiple second-round picks the year after that.
Like when you see an offseason like this, you're normally like, oh, okay, a team went for it. They're aggressive, and they kind of sacrificed the future. Again, the Eagles have had the flexibility with the trades they've made that they didn't really have to sacrifice anything, and that's a great feeling. But, you know, and again, like I get why they had to do things, how he had to do things that way back then, because they had a massive payroll. They had their core in place already. They were just trying to bring in role players to complement them. The issue was that eventually once that payroll gets high, which it will again, you have to maintain and sustain things by drafting well and making the right inexpensive moves. And they just, again, the philosophy was there. They just didn't execute at all. Whereas right now it feels like that mindset, we're in the early stages still, and the execution on paper at least looks fantastic.
Yeah, I kind of look at this model almost like hockey, right? Because I think this is a very similar arc of how hockey teams get their window. Like they had that first year where they might make the playoffs and maybe get blown out by a better team. Step one for the Philadelphia Eagles. That happened. They got blown out by Tampa. They maybe were a year too ready. Now those young guys got experience and you're still adding good pieces. And then what the Eagles did last time, which many hockey teams do, was they traded away a bunch of those assets, like the first, second round picks. You see some drafts in hockey where a team might have like a fifth round pick and that's it because they gave up the future. Then sometimes that window closes. But if you draft right, keep your assets and sign players that complement what you have around your core that are on the right side of 30, that's how you extend a window. I want to be in a window where the Patriots were for many years. I want to be in a window where Seattle was for many years. Like, I'm not saying they're going to build a dynasty. I just want the window to be bigger because I don't want it to be lightning in a bottle. I want it to be multiple seasons.
And that will require one big thing now because everything else is in place. They had Russell Wilson. They had Tom Brady. The pressure is now on for Jalen Hurts and a couple other guys we'll get into. We're going to recap or wrap up this edition of the show. The Eagles signed James Bradberry to a one-year deal. We're recapping it all right here on Locked On Eagles. And today's show is sponsored by Bet Online, the official sports book of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're talking about the Bradberry signing. We're getting into NFL futures, which you can, of course, bet at Bet Online. But right now, There's a lot of sports still going on. You got playoffs, the NBA Conference Finals. The Miami Heat just took a 1-0 lead over the Boston Celtics. You've got tonight Luka Doncic against Steph Curry. It's going to be a lightning rod of offensive basketball. Mavericks, Warriors, go bet on the NBA. The NHL playoffs right now, Gino is drinking that Colorado Avalanche Kool-Aid. Hockey's been really fun to watch the last few weeks. You've got the MLB. You've got fights, UFC and boxing, NFL futures as well, as I mentioned before. Check it all out at the number one source for all your betting needs and sports information, betonline.net. Again, they're your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and so much more. Head over to the website today on your computer or on your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action, because BetOnline is where the game starts. All right, Eagles fans, we are recapping and wrapping up. I don't know why I keep saying recapping. Wrapping up this Wednesday edition of the show, because we are recapping the Eagles' move this early morning. Signing James Bradberry to a one-year deal worth, again, upwards of $10 million guaranteed, a little under $8 million. Gino, were you surprised that he signed? I was kind of nervous. I knew they were going to have interest. It was obvious, but I felt like a team like the Chiefs or Raiders or a win now team might be willing to spend more money. So the fact that they got him too at that value, I think, is another part we didn't even really discuss.
Well, I think it should put a lot of people's minds at ease, right? Because that idea of people didn't want to come to Philly, that narrative went to bed pretty freaking fast. Like, let's just say that teams understand what is happening here. Like, they see them say, like, do you think when they drafted N'Kobe Dean in the third round that people around the NFL didn't know how big of a move that was? How big of a move adding Jordan Davis? How big of a move adding A.J. Brown was? And to culminate it all, we talk about the quarterback position, Lou. It's easy to want to play with a guy like Jalen Hurts. Like, guys,
why you wouldn't as a receiver. The narrative for me was always more just focused straight on one position at receiver, because I would understand if a team's running more than any team in football and you have a quarterback that has a lot of questions passing wise, why you wouldn't sign there when you have options. You know, I don't think it was like a poisonous place to play, but that was more my concern.
Some people made it seem like that, and I didn't ever really see that, because they have continued to acquire talent. And now the next step is, Lou, with expectations on them once again, because after the moves that they have made,
they should be. I mean, the roster is there.
Yeah, in the landscape of the league. We had a discussion a couple weeks ago, once all of these NFC quarterbacks kind of made their way out. Jalen Hurts should be far and away a top six quarterback in this conference, right?
So he's not by the end of the year, there's no excuses, and you got to find another quarterback. You've got the race car. You need the pilot's got to figure out if he can drive this thing. I think we made the stick shift reference a few weeks ago.
Yep.
This continues to add on to that, man. It's like the pressure is on not only Jalen Hurts, but, you know, we're talking about all the defensive talent this team has added, but Jonathan Gannon as well. Like, last year you could use the excuse at times that he didn't have the personnel to do what he wanted, but there were a lot of issues that a lot of really great football minds had about Gannon's defense and the lack of adjustments he'd make, or his mindset when they would play certain teams and certain kinds of quarterbacks. And so, you know, it felt like he was on the hot seat, even if he really wasn't, you know, publicity-wise he was. There's no more excuses. Howie has lined it up for Jalen Hurts and Jonathan Gannon, say, look at everything you've got. I've given you everything you need. Now go do it. I mean, the pressure's on those two, and there's no more excuses. So there's no more another year of wait and see for either guy. And I hope they both step up, and I think they will.
I think this is a very good discussion to have, because I remember it vividly, and I will still stand by this. We were having this discussion with the 4th and John guys in Buffalo the day before that they played the Bills back in 2019. And I said, and I will continue to say, Howie Roseman did enough for that cornerback room when they acquired Sidney Jones, when they acquired Rasul Douglas, when they had Ronald Darby, but the coordinator wasn't putting them in the position to succeed. And that's why I was okay with getting rid of Jim Schwartz sooner rather than later. With Jonathan Gannon, I still think he's going to have that year that may be the transition to get all of these guys into place. It might take 6-7 games to really get in the swing of it. I don't think he's like a one-and-done type of guy. But now, as this defense continues to evolve, if you have these pieces and you have high-profile players and game changers, if your coordinator isn't maximizing them, that's when you have your answer.
It does feel like your GM and coach are more in sync now, Gino. Right. And I think that's important. And I think it's not good at times for a GM to ignore what a coach wants, but also the coach not to maximize the talent they have is also, it goes hand in hand. That relationship's important. And as you just mentioned with Schwartz and now with what they have with Gannon, I mean, Howie clearly knows what this defense needs. Back then it felt like they were just doing two different operations completely at times. Rasul Douglas to me is the biggest example of that.
Right, like does LJ Four get another contract in Philadelphia? No, yeah. Jonathan Gannon is the coordinator. That's a realistic.
So you're not playing Nate Geary. Yeah.
Yes, 100% Lou, and I think it's the same way on offense. Like, you can't look at what Sirianni had his years in Indianapolis, see this offense, and say like they don't have a lot of identical pieces. Like T.Y. Hilton was a reliable guy that could go over the middle and get most of those balls that most people couldn't. Not really as big as A.J. Brown, but a very similar style of play. You look at Zach Pascal. Oh, he brings him in here. And then he has this culmination of multiple different backs and a good offensive line and a quarterback that now with all of the pieces in place, can this machine work cohesively? I think for once, and it puts me in a good headspace, like you said, the coach seems to be on the same page as the general manager, who seems to be on the same page as the owner, and the expectations that they have put out to the team, I think everybody is well aware of them. And Jalen Hurts, he's got to know more than anybody that this is his season to take it. And I want to see him take it. You want to see him take it. We all want to see trust by verification. But now with expectations, Lou, that's when it really kicks in. Like, can you play under pressure? Can you play when it matters? Because if not, we have the Formula One car. The thing's tuned up perfectly. It's operating at an efficient level. Maybe we just got to change the driver. I hope the driver's
good. Because we got the body of the car, and we didn't spend all our money on it. We can still go get a better engine if we need to. So it can happen. It's a lot of pressure, but also in a good way. Like if you're a quarterback, this is the moment you want. Every quarterback only gets one or two opportunities to do this. And Jalen, a lot of times second round picks at this point in the NFL never get it. This is the best situation, I guarantee you, in the next like 10 years that a second round pick will get to be a franchise quarterback, especially considering how he started coming into the league, not ever supposed to be that guy. They did not take him to be that guy. So it is an amazing opportunity that, yes, is added with loads of pressure, but it's because of the great job this team has done to give you a chance. And so the pressure's on. Jalen Hurts, Jonathan Gannon will continue to get into it. This is a fun team to look at on paper. Gino and I will continue to recap it all tomorrow, Thursday, Friday. Nope, today is Wednesday. So we got a show tomorrow and Friday, and then we kick things off again next Monday. Five shows a week still, because things are still happening. James Bradbury signs today. It is all Eagles all the time, 365 days a year. Subscribe to Locked On Eagles wherever you get the show. Video form as well on YouTube. And make sure you follow us on Twitter at Locked On Birds, at DBiase, LOE, and at GC_football. Thank you so much for making Locked On Eagles your first listen each and every day. Now make sure your second listen is the Locked On NFL podcast. All the news across the league in under 30 minutes wherever you get your shows. For Gino Camilleri, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. As always, thanks for downloading. Thank you for watching and listening. And let's go, Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.